CliffCentral.com.
That is right. You don't want to miss Yaku. He's on live this morning, Catalytic, and you can find out more in Unbundled. It's all happening this morning. Don't miss it. That's one of the things that is coming up today. We've also got Joe Semino, who's going to help us with our money in just a little bit. Lebang Hosana is here. She is now a mom of five. She gave birth on the 1st of July, and she's already back at work on the 12th. Slow clap. That's all I can say. Bakabantu is live. He joins us from Makanda, which is Grahamstown in the Eastern Cape. He's laughing already because there's no water, there's no electricity. But luckily we managed to connect. He's using very expensive data, obviously. You're right, dude.
The one thing that's, that seems to be off is the load shedding schedules. For some reason, they're not accurate.
Oh, really?
Stage four now, stage five in 2 hours. It's like I'm supposed to be load shedding today, but I noticed yesterday that I wasn't load shedding. So I'm like,
Lucky you.
I was like, are you going to be on the show? I'm like, yeah.
How nice. It's the little things, you know?
How nice to have electricity.
I know.
to have electricity that you paid for.
it's the little things that make life worth living. It's just so great. Anyway.
to have the stuff you paid for.
Guys. Yeah, I've mentioned that I'm on this kind of eating plan thing, which I'm trying out for a little while. And so far, it's been good. I fell off the wagon a bit last week. So I've restarted the process from yesterday. And decided I'm going to stick to it for 2 weeks and just see if it makes a difference. I'm not really looking to lose a lot of kilograms, but I'll see how many fall off of me. I'm going to see if it's all it's cracked up to be. I've never done a diet in my life. And people tell me, some people say it's useless and you shouldn't do this. It shocks your body. It's not good for you. Other people say, what are you worried about? All you have to do is exercise. And I'm like, no, I've never been disciplined about eating. I'm just going to try it. And then other people say to me, even if it doesn't work, it'll remove a lot of decision-making around meals, which frankly takes up time and effort and energy. And that is something I've realized. It's like when you have an eating plan and you know that you're having this for lunch, this for breakfast, this for supper, it makes your life so much easier. You don't think about it. You know what you're allowed, you know what you're not allowed, and that's all you eat. So you just don't, when you do your shopping, it's so much simpler. And it's really worked out very well. So that's one cool thing that's happened.
Yeah, I make lists for everything because I went through a Jimbo phase where I cut out sugar, I cut out milk, I cut out all these unnecessary calories, and I was like gymming and protein and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I dropped the gym, and then I just kept the lifestyle. You don't need sugar in your tea. You don't need you don't need this other stuff. Like you don't need like a ton of oil to fry everything to death. So then after that, it was just easier for me. I just have a list. It's simple stuff.
Right.
And I don't just buy out of habit.
Right.
I buy what I need.
Yeah. Well, that's also, so here I'm having, I don't know if you've noticed this during the course of the show, but this is plain black coffee, you know, like they call it an Americano. Look, it's nice coffee. I mean, after all the years of being told by everybody that I had a Philistine's mouth and that I had no ability to differentiate between good and bad. And this is especially true, obviously, whenever we would talk about coffee. Certain people who will remain nameless because they were coffee snobs would say to me, oh, I can't have that coffee and I can only have this. And why do you put sugar and milk in your coffee? I don't know that I'm going to go back to coffee without it being plain like this. I think I quite like plain black coffee now. It's amazing how quickly you get used to that stuff, right?
You get used to this stuff because that's how I take my coffee. Also, it has to be real coffee because at work they used to give us real coffee, and I used to make a point that it's not coffee, guys. It's written real coffee. It's literally on the box. There's no way where it's written coffee. It's real coffee.
Correct.
So well, I used to bring my own coffee.
Bulelo used to, like, he would bring a plunger and he'd bring his own grounds and they'd be a single, like, batch Kenyan fancy stuff. And if you brought him, like, one morning I made the mistake of picking up a cup of coffee for him from, like, I don't know, Motherland or Costa or one of those places. And I brought it in for him because we had a meeting and I thought, well, you know, let me bring him some decent coffee. Oh, well, it was not good enough. He didn't want it. I mean, I think I auctioned it off. I was like, who in the office wants this coffee, which cost me like 30 rand or something. And Bulela was not interested. So you get your coffee snobs. But Lebang, you're going to be thrilled. So we've been talking about this nonstop. And I kind of get the feeling that Steve is on the same page as me. So here it is. Steve says, Take a Lot are delivering my air fryer this morning. Let's see what this hype is all about.
Oh my God, Steve, I'm so proud of you.
And I'm doing it too, Lebang. I've taken your advice. I'm going to try it as well. So I got, I didn't order an expensive one. It was, I think it was 800, 900 rand. So I hope it's not a total piece of shit. But if they deliver it this morning, which is hopefully what's going to happen, I'll be able to report back by next week. I'll tell you if I've made anything with it, whether it's working for me. We'll find out if all the hype is worth it, as Steve says in the comments.
Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life.
Thank you.
Your life's about to change.
Thank you.
Start with things like toast, bacon,
right.
You know, things that you just sort of throw in there and just watch your world just evolve into this amazinger place. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
It's called a toaster, but now why are you throwing your toast in an air fryer?
Because it just comes up so much crisper. There's just a way
you
that crunch.
Please do not get her started. She's going to talk about this for half an hour, and then we're all going to go crazy. I mean, I can already see the comments. I can already see people, please.
No, I will not die on this hill. I am also a fan of an air fryer. You can boil your eggs in an air fryer. It does so much, especially for us who don't have a conventional oven, because air fryers have existed, guys.
Right.
Conventional oven, if your oven has a fan, it's an air fryer.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, just small on top of your counter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Throw your roasts in there. Throw your fucking eggs in there.
Yeah.
Man, throw it all in there.
All right,
there.
Stop. Like, literally, look at her. She's
on the go.
You've got her so excited.
If you have a meeting and you're running late, literally just pop some eggs in there, pop some toast in there while you're running out. Just and thank me later. And no, I'm not yet sponsored by anyone. You know, these air fryer companies haven't hit me up. This is all free advertising for them. So thank me later.
They should.
They should.
All right. Cabello says, oh no, Gareth has joined the cult. Herman says, 15-minute roasted chicken without oil, your life is about to change. Ooh. The tales of the air fryer have begun, says Tubble. Yeah, but we're going to stop it now, so don't worry. But I just thought, after Lebang last time, I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to let her talk about this again without trying.
Yeah.
See what
this is the last time I talk about it, by the way. The next person to talk about it is Gareth.
Bullshit.
Gareth will give us his feedback.
Bullshit.
And then I'm going to invite him. I'm going to invite him onto these Facebook air fryer recipe groups. Oh, lifesavers as well. There's like 30, 40,000 members in those groups. It's the best.
All right. Well, Propaganda says coffee has become so expensive. Plain black re-coffee without sugar will make me give up coffee. Yeah. Listen. If you've ever been to Cliff Central and Jane has offered you a cup of coffee, you know, it's not great.
It's really not. Coffee.
It's not.
Side note.
So
it's not coffee.
We used to get like.
Are we still calling red coffee?
No, we're not calling that coffee. We used to get cheap, super cheap stuff in the tin. You know what we're talking about. This is what Bakabantu mentioned just a moment ago. But we decided that that's so rude. If your guests come in and they ask you for coffee, and you give them that, that's insulting, right? Horrible. It's cheap. It saves you a couple of rand on the bottom line, but it's just horrible. It's so lacking in hospitality. So we upgraded, but we're still doing instant. We used to have a very fancy coffee machine, but I think people abused it. And those pods, we used to go through like tons of them every day. So we decided, no, this is not going to work anymore.
We still have it. It's in the
storeroom.
This
is what I heard from Sis Pumi last week.
It's in the storeroom.
Yeah, it's collecting.
Yeah. Where is
all
it? Because I would hook
dust.
It up.
No.
Do you want to hook it up for us? Please do. It's very fancy. Extremely fancy.
It is fancy.
We have actual coffee in the office, and I don't know about this.
Yes, but it's in the storeroom, and it costs too much to operate. That's what I was saying. Like, either you get these pods, which are way too expensive, or you used to have to buy the ground coffee and make it like a barista kind of machine thing. Listen, we are not a coffee operation. We are a content creation and distribution business. If you want coffee, bring your fucking own.
But it's good for the feng shui of the office, you know. People walk in, smell some very expensive coffee in the
air. Yeah.
You know, as a creative, your juices get going. I can do it.
All right. Well, sure. Herman says, Re-coffee tastes like beef stock. That's so great. All right.
Wow.
Oh, man. Here we go. The horror says, quick question off topic. Gareth, have you ever considered moving to soap peel prime destinations like Australia, the UK, and don't forget New Zealand? You mean like emigrate? No.
And, I was going to say, sounds like immigration.
Definitely not New Zealand.
And I know that we have been complaining this morning about South Africa, and you know that I am very frustrated with our government, and I think we all are, and we all have good reason to be. But I still believe... And maybe I've made a terrible miscalculation here. I'm willing to accept. Maybe when I get to 70, 80 years old one day, I'll go, oh, I should have left that shithole when I had the chance. But I've always decided that the place I can make the most difference is here. The place where I want to be is here. The place where, oh, these are my people. This is my home. This is where I like to be. And I know that sounds sentimental and stupid, and I'm not a patriot. I'm not like one of those people who sings the anthem from beginning to end and goes to rugby matches and waves a flag or any of that shit. That doesn't turn me on at all. I could care less about that nonsense. But this is the place where I want to make the difference. This is a place where I feel I want to be. And even though there are lots of challenges, you know what it, you know, the government never admits they've got problems. So it's challenges. But I would rather have those than live in a flat in London and be miserable for way more months of the year because I hate winter than I am here. And I would not like to live in New Zealand, which is so far away, it may as well be on another planet. And I don't like any of their governments either, to be perfectly frank. You know? There's none of their
grass ain't always greener.
I don't love the current Australian options. I don't love that Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand. Who even knows he's in charge of Britain at the moment? Because Boris resigned, and you know, there's another fight on in the Conservative Party to see who's going to take over there. Ugh. I'll deal with this because I know this sounds like sacrilege, but I still would rather. Like have Cyril than any of those assholes, and that's a lot. I know because Cyril's not a great example of anything.
It's called Stockholm syndrome, Gareth.
Maybe,
it's
dude.
Called Stockholm syndrome.
Maybe that's what I said. Like maybe one of these days, someone's going to look at me and go, "You stupid asshole! How could you? You had the chance to go overseas and start new things and do things that you didn't do here, and blah blah blah." But gotta say, this is where I make the difference. And also, I like the opportunities this place affords. I often said when you have problems, then solving those problems can make you money. And I often feel that we're a country with lots of problems. Those problems can be solved. If I'm part of the solution, I can make lots of money. And then I can live happily. Even if that is Stockholm syndrome speaking, Bugabantu, I don't feel like I have any regret about my decisions. Not yet. That may come. I'm willing to accept I may be wrong. Someone may look at me one day and go, "What an idiot. What an asshole." But it's that's in the future for me. Who knows?
A number of people that end up immigrating, you know, for similar reasons, like, oh, no, South Africa's gone to shit or whatever.
Yeah.
They actually end up, you know, for lack of a better word, regretting it because they realize that and as crappy as South Africa was, that crap smells great compared to what they're experiencing now, which is, you know, they're in this world that they really know very little about. And it's not their home. There's something about being at home, right? Where you're like, I'm in the shitter, but I can solve this. I can find a solution. Whether it's, you know, sorry, I'm on a roll.
Yeah, everyone loves the smell of their own shit.
Like, no, but real talk. I saw a video of this older couple that actually left South Africa to go live down under, and they hated it. Like they couldn't, you know, start their own business. They ended up being like bus drivers, and they felt really like let down because in South Africa they were afforded more opportunities. It's like, dude, you should have just hung back and done your thing in South Africa. Then I know it's not great, but
yeah. I just think that the whole world is in a bit of a mess at the moment. I mean, look, in America, they've got inflation. They've got fuel price increases. It's going on everywhere. And governments all over the world have mismanaged everything. that we gave them to do. And I don't want to turn this into a one-trick pony show where all we do is talk about how stupid governments are, because we could go on all day, but I do think it's boring. I want to talk a little bit about something that we don't address, and I get into trouble with a lot of listeners for this, but the YouTube algorithm, and I know that Bakabantu's been looking at this. There are videos online that will show you how this whole thing works. You have to like and subscribe, because otherwise the show goes nowhere. And this YouTube algorithm doesn't care. They don't care what we're talking about, right? But if people like and subscribe, it gets pushed up. And this goes for all of our podcasts, everything. So for like Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us, you've got to like and subscribe this to this stuff. Otherwise, it doesn't show up. It doesn't matter if we have millions of people listening to the podcast, which we do, millions every month. But it doesn't help unless you like and subscribe, because the algorithm doesn't care about that other stuff.
It's so weird how it works, Gareth, because I'm subscribed to Cliff Central, but if I don't like a video, sometimes it doesn't pop up, like notifications don't come through. Mm-hmm. So you have to like and subscribe. So apparently it gets pushed to like the people that are often watch this channel. It gets pushed, let's say, to 200 people.
Right.
You have like, what, I think we have 1.5K subscribers, something like 14K, I think somewhere there. But it gets pushed to only like a small group. If that group likes and subscribes or likes, comments and engages with the video, it gets pushed further.
Right.
But then if it doesn't, then the video goes nowhere. So it's stuff like that that I'm like, the YouTube, and then it's just a computer calculating that if no one engaged with this video, which means no one likes this video, there's no human, but you subscribe to the channel, you said you like their content, but it won't get pushed to you because maybe someone didn't like it, maybe someone disliked it. They even removed the dislike counter on the thing.
Oh, really?
Because that also used to show engagement. Yeah, that also used to show engagement, but they don't care about dislikes, they just care about likes and comments.
Right.
If you don't like it, just comment, at least. Mm. Comment what you don't like.
Well,
put it there, and just, then it gets fed to more people, and then that's how it spreads.
Congo Chris wants credit for this. I like and subscribe on YouTube, and then I listen on Spotify later during the day while I'm driving. I think I deserve my name on a plaque in the studio. All right. We'll think about that. We may put that on. Sharon says, I'm subscribed, I get notifications, and I like every day. You see, you also get a gold star. So I'm going to hand out gold stars to all the people who, do this. Please do this shit, because I hate asking for it day by day. And I watch a lot of YouTube content, and it irritates me when the first 2 minutes of any video is like, I can subscribe. But we've got to do it, right? This is how the thing works.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. That's how you have to play the game. That's the rules of the game.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to do what we've been anxious and nervous to do for a long time. We love this guy, but also he's like the dad, the tough love dad that we all need. Joe Cimino is a good friend of the show. I've known Joe for years. He's so smart about like advising you on what simple stuff you can do to save money and stop being a financial idiot. They call him Dr. Debt. He is the financial fitness guru. He is the man who knows more about how you should manage your money than you do, even though it's your money. And when we bring him onto the show, he drives us all crazy because we suddenly realize how useless we are and how badly we've been managing our lives and our money. He tells us about stuff we don't want to hear, like credit card debt and insurance, all sorts of stuff. And I've taken his advice, and I've implemented every now and then something that he's dropped in as a pearl of wisdom. It has helped me. It will help you. And trust me, this is the start for many of us of you getting your finances in order. So here, without further ado, is Dr. Debt, Joe Cimino. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. I'm great. G, how are you?
Well, I mean, I've told you a million times, I love having you on the show, but oh my God, it's hard work when you realize how much trouble you've caused yourself and how badly you've been managing your life. So Joe, we're in big trouble, right? Because the world is not great at the moment, and no one is making the kind of money that they were last year, and politicians have ruined things for us. Where are we, and what can we do about this?
Well, to sum it up, I have this South African phrase, you may have heard it,
That's about right.
Well, I'm going to start this show by saying, if you don't start making changes, nothing's going to change.
Right.
And you have to, because as I look at what's been out in the news just in the last few weeks, cooking oil up 69%, cabbage 22%, onions 16%, bread 16%. These are huge. And, you know, it says the prices of 15 basic foods are up over 15% from last year. Now, what I want everybody out there to realize is, what raise did you get this year? Some of you got 2%, 3%.
Raise?
5%, if you got a raise at all.
Yes.
So now you're outbound with these food products are 15%. But don't forget, you also have inflation, generalized inflation at about 6%. So when you look at everything going up, but let's just use 15 because that's a real number. I know Stats SA and I really rely on them for information. Bullshit. Sorry. You know, 15% inflation, and then you sit with debt.
Yeah.
9% on a home bond. So you're minus 15 and minus 9, you're minus 24%. That's what's going on. So you've got your minus 24% there, plus all your policies you've got.
Yeah.
You know, your life cover and right. this cover and that cover and this cover. And let's not forget our special pet insurance. They're all going up at 10%. So you have all these huge drains. You're being squeezed. You're being strangled.
Yeah.
And if you don't start doing something, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And, you know, I believe interest rates, and I'm going to bring it up in a minute, but interest rates are going to start rising. And I just want to mention something for the younger viewers out there. And Gareth, I know when you were on another network, I think that's the way you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, well,
with your money tip of the day, home bond interest rates in 1999 were 19%. Remember those days?
Yeah. And are you worried we could go back there?
Not all the way there, but we're going to go up a couple few more points. That's for damn sure. Damn sure. I mean, right. You've got in MoneyWeb, warning bells are ringing about anger over rising costs, poor service delivery, load shedding, and unemployment. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at 17 to the dollar now. And probably going to get worse. I don't know why the dollar is going nuts, the fiat currency over there. But the big one is the fuel.
Yes.
And, you know, when you talk about just on the 4th of July, they put 93 went up by 237 a liter and 95 by 257.
Right.
Well, that's the beginning, because then in about 3 weeks' time, that temporary fuel levy relief that the government put in place in April is going to come to an end again. So they're going to go up again.
All right. So obviously, if you don't need to drive anywhere, don't. You know, filling your tank is going to cost you more whether you like it or not. But there's no way around this unless you just drive less.
I totally agree with you. One suggestion is coast more. You can save money when you coast.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about fuel. And one of the side notes of this is for everybody with generators out there. I know my home generator is costing me $4,000 a month with the load shedding.
That's insane.
That's a tremendous ad. And if you don't have to drive, don't. But I'm going to tell you something people might not like about me. I have never bitched about the price of fuel. Never in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just affects you. And, you know, with the psychiatrists and psychologists I've been to in life, you don't want to bring up things to yourself that hurt you. You know, it's like when a taxi cuts you off and you hit the hooter and you're screaming, the taxi driver, he doesn't care and he's on his way and you're screaming and upset. And well, guess who did that to themselves? So what you have to do is really start taking note of what it is you're doing and do a comprehensive audit. And that's what I'm going to be teaching your people today, because Lesetia Kanyako said, oh, this is almost a year ago now, as the pace of inflation increases, so will interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave the warning.
Right.
So the question you have to ask yourself, and a lot of people try to save money, is it better to, you know, invest, save, or pay off debt? And what every one of your listeners needs to do is add up all the interest you pay on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
From the home bond, the car loan, the credit cards, the store accounts, the overdrafts, the personal loans, whatever you want. Add up all that interest. Then add up all the fictitious interest you're getting on your savings. And the reason I call it fictitious is because many policies out there, and even saving in a bank, they don't even beat inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So if inflation's 6.6% and you're getting 5,
yeah,
in the bank, everything around you is going up faster than your money. You're going backwards. And if you have a home bond at 9% and you're saving at 5, you're going backwards.
Right.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just on these policies and things, because a lot of people have savings or they have policies. They've got a certain amount they put away every month to try and either invest or just gather interest. Some of these things tie you in for, like, you know, 15, 20 years. You can't get out of them. And if you try to cash out early, there are huge penalties. So you're screwed if you do, screwed if you don't, right?
That's correct. You know, I've been teaching this 26 years and it continues. And I know in 2020, there was a really good article about retirement annuities.
Yeah.
I won't mention what insurance company. Oop, I shouldn't have said insurance. I won't mention what insurance companies these are with. But this guy says over 10 years, his annual rate of return was 1.92%, while his cost was 4.7%. So he said that, in effect, after inflation, I'm worse off now than when I started investing. So what they want you to do is the first two things they hit you with is life cover and retirement. You need more money for retirement. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the statistic is 95% of working people don't have enough money at retirement. Now, why is that? Well, when you see the returns on these old policies, I remember reading the one, I won't mention the company, but over 16 years, they lost 34%. They only find this out when they get it.
And these are the experts, right? These are the ones who are meant to trust. These are the people who tell us. Now, I remember someone saying to me once that, you know, there's an old school way of thinking, and it seems to still be prevalent. You know, people say you must save your money, you must put it into a retirement annuity, you should have a pension, all of that stuff. And it seems to me like that is actually not good advice. And in 2022, we should be looking at other ways of managing whatever money you do have, let alone the money you don't. You've already spoken a little bit about, like, paying off your debt and how you're getting screwed by interest rates. But what about people who actually have, let's say they've just started their career and they can plan it from the start, which is, you know, most of us don't. We've already made terrible mistakes. We've already made bad investments. We've already lost a whole ton of money. But for those people who are starting now, like, let's say you're 20 something and you're in your first job, what should you plan so that you can maximize this, so that in 20 years time, you're not sitting in the position that the rest of us are, where you've lost more than you gained?
Well, one of the cores of what we teach is you save no money other than into a fully funded proper retirement program whilst you have debt, because your debt interest is at a higher rate than your savings interest. And the reason I say a proper retirement annuity, generally we're talking about your company sponsored pension or provident plan,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of these plans, Gareth, they match you. So if you put in R1,000, they put in R1,000.
Okay.
Well, that's what we call 100% interest per month.
Right.
You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Right.
But what a lot of brokers do, and you always have to remember this, and I call them brokers. They might call them financial advisors, wealth planner. They might call whatever they want.
Yes.
But if they don't sell you something, they don't make any money. And as Jim Miller, the managing director of Financial Fitness, always says, if you don't have any money, they don't even want to talk to you.
Right.
So one of the easiest things to do is say, do you want to save on tax? Well, who doesn't want to save on tax? So what they do is when you're young, they lock you up into some retirement annuity. This is before you bought your house,
right,
before you bought your first new car, before you put money away for your future children's education.
Yes.
And they're locking you down, man. They're locking you down.
You can't touch that money until you're, 65 or something. And what have you been doing?
Well, 55.
55. And what have you been doing? You've just been basically putting it in there, and they've been probably investing it poorly for you.
Well, agreed. And, you know, if they can lock you up and give you inefficient investments, you're going to continue to borrow. And when you realize who are the co-owners of some of the banks, you might find it's the insurance companies. You may have heard of a company called Stanlib.
Yes.
You may have heard of Nedcor,
yes,
where Old Mutual's got a shot at Nedbank. So you keep buying stuff here, you keep borrowing there. That's called win-win for them. Guess what it's called for you?
Screw.
It's called, I feel like I'm not getting ahead in life, and right, I don't know why. And you're not.
All right, Buckabantu, you're new to Joe's hard knocks and his truth. Do you want to ask him a couple of questions about your financial situation or people that you know who may be in like a terrible position because they made bad decisions?
No. I'm not new to Joe. From the listener point of view, I'm the first time I'm meeting you. Mm-hmm. But credit cards, Joe. Can you tell people how much of a trap a credit card is?
Yes.
Cool. First off, it's not a credit card. It's not a credit card. It's a debt card. It takes you deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And one of the simple things when I do my workshops and webinars, I teach people is if you are not paying your credit card in full, and that's the way it always starts out, I'm going to pay this in full, you know?
Hmm.
Well, once you start making minimum payments, that tells you have a problem. And what the credit card companies did so nicely for you about 6-7 years ago is they lowered the monthly minimum payment. The minimum payment used to be 5%.
Right.
So if you owed 10,000 Rand, your minimum payment was 500. Now they lowered it to 2.5%. So instead of 500, your minimum payment's 250. Now that's great, except you'll be in the payment for almost 55 months. That's almost 5 years. So when you start thinking every time you use your credit card, it's going to take me 5 years to pay this off. And don't forget, in the meantime, you're having children. All your policies are going up at 10%. Yeah. Inflation's eating up your disposable income. You're getting strangled. So you start to rely more and more and more on this credit card. And now we can tap our way to the poorhouse. And that's what goes on. People are just constantly using credit cards. And, you know, I always tell them, use cash. Yeah. Use cash. They say, oh, yeah, this is Joburg. You can't carry cash. And I tell them, you don't have any. So don't even bring that up. I mean, my ATM drop,
yes,
5th of July, was about 1,400 Rand. The average across 10 accounts.
Hmm.
That's what they got on the 5th of it. It was actually the 5th of July.
That's all they got in there.
Yeah, and that's in Gallo Manor here, you know?
Wow.
So credit cards they're a necessary evil because you have to begin your credit experience. So here's my suggestion. Number one, you're not going to get a Visa right off the bat. So go to Jet, Woolworths, Foschini, whatever you want, and get a credit card and put a 5,000 Rand limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. You cannot hurt yourself with 5,000 Rand. They'll give you 25,000.
Yeah.
You put the limit on. 6 months later, after you use it and pay it off, you've got your credit history now, you go after your Visa card, put a 10,000 Rand limit on that. Because you can't hurt yourself with 10,000. Then cancel the Jet card, the Truewards card.
Right.
You don't need all these cards. You're talking to a guy that I used to have three Visas and about 7 store accounts. Okay? And I maxed them all out, and it took me 10 years in America. 10 years. After that, my girlfriend left me, but we're not going to go there. I'm not going to say because I didn't have any money, she left me. I'm not going to say that. But I was broke and my heart hurt. And, you know, you start, Lord, you know, you're in church, right? What happened? You know, and then he sent me Jim Miller and it worked. So slowly but surely, people get more and more credit cards and they're diversifying a problem. So put a limit on your credit cards. They're going to call you. In fact, Standard Bank, who I'm canceling today because they keep charging me a card fee and a service fee. And I tried to use my card and they declined it. And they owe me money. They said I put the wrong PIN in. I have a straight PIN across all my accounts.
Right.
And the manager's going to call me back. They didn't. I'm firing them today. Let me quote that famous president in America. You're fired. Okay.
Right.
You put the limit on your cards. That's what you have to do. $5,000 on a store account, $10,000 on a Visa. That's it. I could tell you people that earn millions and they owe 465,000 Rand on credit cards.
Ooh, and
I know these people.
And those credit cards, it's no different between them and a Mashonisa who will give you like an outrageous cash loan at like 30%. The interest rates are just crippling there, Joe. You never get out of that trap if you let it begin.
Well, I'm Italian American, and it's called the VIG.
Yeah, right.
You know, and those guys, they charge by the week a lot of times.
That's right.
So you're in trouble, and once you get involved with them, you'll never get out of that. And it's just people have used up all the credit they have, so that's why they go to those guys. And that's worst case scenario and really what it is. And a lot of people really got knocked in the head with this COVID thing. You know, a lot of people lost their jobs. They say up to 3 million people. A lot of businesses are closing. I mean, they shut my training down because I do corporate training. So that's why I'm gone. I'm leaving. Unfortunately, you know.
Where are you going to go?
Hawaii.
That's not so bad. I can't say I blame you.
Well, you know, I heard your earlier presenter going, they go overseas and it's not as well. Hawaii is actually.
Hawaii really is.
But I'm one of the 1% probably, you know what I mean? But it's part of doing everything right, you know, being debt free for I don't know how long, saving money. So when I went through this drought of no real income, I had money. I pay my bills. I'm on time. You know, like I say, even my credit cards, they owe me money. I pay extra. My rates, I pay extra so I don't get wiped out anytime in the future. But going back to Bakabang's credit card thing, if you can avoid them, it's your best bet. But you do need to start a credit profile because one day you're going to want to buy a car and you don't have 200,000 Rand because your first car should be used, not new. And then once you want to buy a house, you're going to need to have some sort. So I've got my son who's 25 now. He started his, you know, credit profile and stuff because eventually he's going to be moving out and stuff. So credit cards are the worst of all the evil. It starts out with that. Then you get a car loan. Then you get a home bond. And once you get the home bond, that's when you start really using the credit cards because everybody goes for the best house they can get for the most amount of money they can afford. And then they got to find out that they got to buy drapes because they live next to Peeping Tom. Then they got to buy furniture and then they got to buy this and all this stuff for the house and furniture loans. And all of a sudden, there they sit. Home bond, car loan, credit cards, store accounts, overdraft. You're done. Cancel Christmas.
Oh, my God. Simple. All right. So Joe, I mean, we started off talking about these food price increases, which, I mean, I'm just going to go over some of this because I think it is interesting. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much stuff has gone up. You don't know because most of us go into the store, we buy our stuff, and then when it comes to paying, we go, oh, my God, I didn't buy any gold bars. How come this costs so much, right? Same trolley, same stuff, but suddenly it costs you 60% more. In the case of cooking oil, 69% more. We were talking about that before you even came on this morning. Apparently, cooking oil now was 135 Rand. Now it's 228 Rand. That is a major, major increase. We can't do anything about these increases. It's not like you can protest in the streets or say, I'm not going to be buying any meat anymore. You know, sometimes you've got to buy what you've got to buy to get healthy and to eat properly and, you know, to not starve. Milk, bread, these are basic staple things for most of us. So you can't do anything about that. Like you said earlier, you can't do anything about the petrol price. There's no reason to sit there and mope and complain. It's not within your control. Where else can we shave off money? You mentioned the insurance people, and obviously all of those brokers and all of the insurance companies are going to lose their minds because they are making so much money that they are advertising. They're the only businesses that are advertising at the moment. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how every second ad is an insurance company, and they're all terrible? They're the worst ads you've ever seen. They're so frigging annoying. They've got the same bullshit message over and over again. It's terrible stuff. Insurance is one place we could save. Where else?
Well, let's work talk on insurance. I call it the dreaded D's of life. If you die and you got insurance, you get a bunch of money. If you get a dreaded disease, more D's, and you got insurance, you get a bunch of money. If you get disabled, you got insurance. If you know Desmond Dube, then you're buying some of his stuff. And it's funny on TV now because they're calling life insurance a legacy payment.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, our parents' job was not to die and leave us a whole bunch of money.
Right.
But they have convinced these people today that your job is when you die, you leave your children a bunch of money.
Uh-huh.
They don't go to a good school because you ain't got any money, but you can die and leave them a bunch. The problem with that is with most life insurance policies, your payments go up at about 10% a year. But the cover doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So using the rule of 72s and things like that, that says your money halves in its buying power about every 7 years because of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took out ₹1 million life cover today, that cover doesn't go up in most cases. Now, some people say it does. Yeah. In probably 7 or 8% of the cases, in 92% of the cases, the cover doesn't go up. That ₹1 million in 7 years is really worth $500,000.
Yeah.
In 14 years, it's worth 250. And in 21 years, it's worth 125,000 rand. And in the meantime, your payment keeps going up at 10%. Now, when you're paying 500 rand a month when you start, 10% is $50. But when you're 58 years old and you're paying 4,000 rand a month, 10% is 400 a month extra. So that's 8 times more per month than when you started. And people get caught up with
So Joe, do these bastards just put it up 10% without even asking you? It just goes up automatically, and unless you notice, they just keep doing this?
Correct. Well, you're inflation linked. That's what they call it. Bullshit. Sorry. But, you know, they inflation link the payment, but not the cover. Now, there's a company out there called BrightRock.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer a flat insurance premium. So your insurance premium never goes up. And they also, and I don't work for them, but I was exposed to some of the stuff that they do. A lot of the indigenous population of South Africa have these funeral policies they pay through the nose because black tax and all, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they're going to pay 20,000 rand. Well, 20,000 rand in 21 years is about $2,000. And what they're going to be paying in 21 years is astronomical. So what BrightRock has done is they put into their life cover an immediate payment of up to 50,000 rand within, I think it's 24 or 48 hours. So once you show a death certificate, they rush you a bunch of money. So that's going to alleviate the need for these funeral policies if you want to do that. But funeral policies is a wicked industry. Hey?
Well, it's huge.
All my black friends in America, none of them have funeral policies. None.
So Joe, why is a funeral policy a stupid idea? Because I do know that in South Africa, a lot of people have them.
In South Africa, it's a big thing.
And Bakabantu, I mean, it seems to be like the most important payment some people make every month, right? It's the one thing they will not
Paying to die. That's what you're doing. You're paying to die.
Investing in death.
And unless you're smoking tick or robbing banks, You've got a chance of actually living. And what they've convinced, and I see it all the time, I'm not going to mention my friend's name, but he's a big ANC guy. And I asked him, you know, do you have, you know, a funeral policy? He goes, Joe, I drive a Range Rover. My wife's got a Z3. My two kids are in college. I got a home bond. My wife is very expensive. I've got credit card bills. My family is going to have to worry about themselves. So slowly but surely, the whole black tax, take care of the family thing, that's, you know, it's slowly going by the wayside. That's why anytime you run into somebody who comes into a large sum of money, all their family shows up. Mm-hmm. They love you. Yeah. And they want to borrow money, you know, because my son needs to go to school and I can't afford it. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. And where were you the last 10 years? You know what I mean? So you got to remember that with funeral policies, it's going to be worthless in 20 years. My joke is, if you take out a 50,000 Rand policy, and most of the time I hear 20,000, but a 50,000 Rand policy is going to be, let's say, it says 50, 25, 12, about 6,700 Rand in 21 years. Hmm. What is 6,700 Rand going to buy you? Cups.
Yeah.
So everybody at your funeral is going to have a cup. And I encourage people to go price a casket.
Yeah.
Understand what this is. Just, you know, maybe you'll have enough to pay for the casket. What else? What else? So you can keep paying to die. If you want. But then when you really look at overall, here's the deal. You have health insurance, mm-hmm. medical aid, life insurance, car insurance, dreaded disease insurance, disability insurance, income protection insurance, funeral cover insurance, tire insurance, pet insurance, cell phone insurance. Are you wondering why you're broke yet?
McGill says, and he's right, love you, Joe. So brutally honest, the whole of South Africa should hear this, man. Ethan says, it is not an investment, it is protection for your children. It's not even that, though, because funeral policy doesn't protect your children. As you say, it'll buy you cups. It's just unbelievable. Stop paying money for when you're not around anymore.
If you die early, okay, it might pay off your house. Okay. Yeah. So what about the kids' education? What about that?
Yeah.
Now, some guys will buy a huge amount of life cover for that. But again, I don't know what your chances of dying really are. I know it's going to happen. We don't know when. But how about this, Gareth? How about if we live a debt-free life, we pay off our house in 7 years,
yeah,
and then we don't have a home bond payment, a car payment, or any credit card payments, and then we can put our kids through school. Now you die. You don't have any home bond payment, credit card payment, you know what I mean? And then your pension or provident fund from your job pays out. And that should be at least one bar. Sorry, that's what we in Santon call million. But, you know, that could be your income. And that rises. That investment rises. Whereas, you know, in relation to life insurance, like I say, those never really go up. They do in very small cases. But that comes down over time. So by becoming debt-free and solidifying your financial position, if you do die, you don't have any huge debts to pay off and everything. But in the meantime, you're keeping up with the Joneses, the Motseppis, the Naidus. You're spoiling the hell out of your kids. And I see it because I'm the chairman of the social committee of the Santon Sports Club.
Yeah.
And I see these kids. First off, their dad drives in the top of the range Range Rover.
Yes.
And then I just saw this 4x4 Lamborghini. My God, wow. I don't even, Jim Miller, he's a car aficionado. He told me, that's what he, I'm going, holy cow. And you see that they just spoil the hell out of their kids. And I'm going to tell you something. You keep doing that, you're in for one hell of a future. Now, I'm going to say this in all fairness. I spoiled my son. But what I did, and this is some advice from Uncle Joe, tie it to their grades. My son had PS3, PS4, iPhone 5, 6, 7, 8. He's got an iPhone, I think, 11 now. He's 25 years old, and he's doing a double master's.
Hmm.
So by tying the spoiling to their grades, at least you get something out of it. But, you know, all these parents, they upgrade their iPhone, and they give it to their spoiled, rotten little kid. You know, and I see them. You know, I see them in the shops. That's why when they cry in the shops, I go up to them and I look at them and I start crying. And the parents look at me like I'm weird, you know, but the kid stops.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to get your stuff together. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some money saving tips right now. Ready?
Go for it.
Car insurance. Call and get three different quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people go, I lower my car insurance every year. I call them every year. By calling your current insurer, they give you a shut up and go away discount. It's a small amount. Now shut up and go away.
Okay.
Okay. But by calling three and getting three different quotes, the key is don't tell them what you're paying.
Right.
Then take the lowest quote, call your current insurer and go, you know, my car is 3 years old now. Shouldn't the, and then they hit you with this line of bullshit. Well, spares are more expensive than ever. And if we have to replace your vehicle, have you seen the price of new cars?
Right.
You know, first off, you're not getting a new car. You got a five-year-old Volvo, you're getting a five-year-old Volvo price.
Right.
So call, get three quotes, take the lowest quote, call your current insurer back and tell them, match it or I'm going to switch. That's one. Number two, contents insurance. They got me with this one. I've canceled mine because I live in Fort Knox. I play with guns. I'm waiting for them to come in. But anyway, and I'm not going to turn on the light. Is somebody there? No. I'm waiting for you in the bedroom. Come on. So what they did is they raised my contents insurance every year by 10% as my stuff got older.
Yeah.
They keep rate and they keep telling me, ready? Replacement value. Well, I bought a 30,000 Rand TV 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right now, you could buy the same TV for 18,000 Rand. So what do they mean by replacement value? And then here's the best part. And I got the email. Joe, you're insured for 400,000 worth of clothing, utensils, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I had it out with them. I go, if they break in my house, they're not stealing my clothing, utensils, and et cetera.
Correct.
They're stealing my TV, my Harman Kardon stereo, my laptop, my iPhone. All these things are extra on your policy. Mm-hmm. So you all need to really do an assessment of how much do you really need on contents insurance?
Yeah.
Because they keep raising the price, so you can lower that. Another one, homeowners insurance.
Yes.
Earthquake, fire, they're going to pay your house out. Chances are you're never really going to need that. So my suggestion and what I did, you have to have it. But what you do is you raise the excess. On a lot of these policies, the excess is 2,000 Rand. So if your house burns down, they give you three bar, you got to give them 2,000 to get the 3 million. Raise it to 10,000 Rand excess. That'll lower your monthly payment.
Yeah, good idea. Okay. All right, we're taking notes. We're taking notes. LeBungs just said she's taking notes too. She's feeding the
kids,
but
she's taking
notes. Right, next one.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you need to understand is that all these policies that go up at 10%, you got to curtail those costs. You got to stop them. You know, they're raising your homeowner's insurance. But if you really look at what property has done in relation to inflation over the last 12 years, you're talking about maybe a 1% growth.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're raising your house price at an exponential rate.
Yeah.
So you need to have somebody who comes in and really shows you the truth. It's hard to find these people because, as I said, unless they can sell you something, they're not going to do anything for you, you know? So you've got to fix those insurances. If you want pet insurance, more power to you. It's like I told you before, Gareth, when I was a kid, when my pet got sick, he ran away. It's amazing. Every time my pets would get sick, they ran away. Somebody left the gate open, you know? Now, when I got older, I figured it out, you know? But, oh, we love him, and, you know, he needs 16,000 rands worth of whatever.
Dental
work. Yeah, he's got bad breath. Oh, okay. Well, that's because he licks his bum. But anyway, so you got to really look at all these insurances and do you really need them all? What you have to do is become debt free. So let me go on it. You guys need to, and if you want, send me an email. Gareth, you'll have all my info when I leave. But I'll send you two worksheets. One's a debt position worksheet. One's a spending plan. And you can look at what you really pay and what you really have and what you really need to fix. Because, ladies and gentlemen, here's the bad news. Government is broke.
Yep.
Municipalities were looted and broke. We lost a plethora of jobs and businesses during COVID, and many of them are not returning. So where do all those jobs and employees who used to pay income tax, where's all that tax money?
Yep.
Gone. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they said millionaires are leaving the country. They're closing their businesses. More tax money. Gone. Who's going to pay all the taxes for this socialism that exists? Because we in the ruling party, we want to help the poor. So we're going to make everybody poor so we can help more people. That's the way it works, you see? So they, you know, and you got the president saying in Durban about a week and a half ago, we've got the German company or the French company who's going to come to South Africa. But with all the red tape of business, overregulation, high taxes, combined with occasional electricity and definite crime, who's really coming here?
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, I'm gone. September 6th, I'm on my way to Hawaii. So here's what I'd like to do for the people of South Africa. Our corporate training, normally I would train 30 people for 33,000 rand. That's our price. Okay.
Right.
What I'm offering South Africa, I will train your entire company, 15,000 bucks. Boom, game over. Your entire company, whether it's a room full of people, you know, as they call it, in-person training, or a webinar, 15,000 bucks plus VAT, obviously, because, you know, the government's given us this value adding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's Joe's closing down sale. Listen up, everybody. This is your last chance. It's Joe's clearing
going
house.
Going out of business.
Going
yes,
out
indeed.
Of business sale. He's off to Hawaii. He's going to throw in this one last chance for you to get your shit together.
And HR people out there, help your people. They're struggling. I love dealing with companies who go, our people don't have financial problems. Well, I know a guy, a director in the bank who goes, you know, when my people get out of the car in the morning and they come in broke, I know what happens. Mm. And it affects their whole life. They're looking for new jobs. They don't have any money. Their production is down. Even the people working from home, you know, their productivity is way down. I don't care what they say. It's way down. I see it. I hear it. I talk to people. You know what I mean? I'm engaged. So what I say is let me know. You know, Gareth will have my info.
Yeah,
any size company, 15,000 rand, money management, debt elimination.
I love it, Joe. Listen, it's always good to have you on, man. We're going to miss you when you're in Hawaii to give us these truths. But who knows? We may be able to connect there. The time difference is outrageous. So if it's six
and the opposite end of the world.
Right. If it's
12 hours difference.
So if it's 6 hours, 6 o'clock in the morning here, then it'll be 6 o'clock in the evening there. So we probably could still
talk.
There
you go. I mean, I'll be awake with a delicious Zinfandel, maybe.
Oh, wow. Sounds so good. You be sure to take pictures of how fantastic Hawaii is and make us all jealous. That sounds amazing.
I'll definitely do that. So I leave you, Gareth, with aloha, which, by the way, means hello and goodbye.
And goodbye.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Bakabantu, Joe, aloha, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. bright and early on the show. Have an excellent day.
Like and subscribe.
Correct.
There we go. Please do that. And also, if you don't like any of the stuff that Joe said, tough. That's the best way for you to get your shit together. we're doing all we can to help you this morning, and we hope that somebody somewhere listens and changes their life for the better. All right, everybody. Cheers. We will see you tomorrow. Be good.
Ciao. CliffCentral.com.